Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I was pre-warned. I got a few texts this morning saying, be careful, Pastor. I hear somebody's going to come out with some Gatorade and give you a Gatorade bath. I'm ready. But I was not warned that when I came out of our equip course, Sunday school, in some places we call it equip course, I made that turn coming into the office there, and there were about 70 people singing happy birthday to me. You really touched my heart, and you really got me. You did. I'm usually pretty hard to get. And this morning, I parked by the kitchen, and the Link's getting stuff out of the car. I said, well, let me help you. No, you don't need to help me. Let me help you. I'll bring it to the kitchen. And then Carrie blocked the kitchen door, so I couldn't see what was going on there. You guys are pretty sneaky guys. Well, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for surprising me, for loving me, for accepting me the way I am, weird and all. I love you too. You're so nice. Well, as you know, we've been going through the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived, Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 5, we saw the need to be born again. We saw that if you are going to enter into the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus is the giver of the law. Jesus is the interpreter of the law. And Jesus is the fulfiller, the one who fulfills the law. Apart from him, there is no righteousness. We find righteousness in Jesus Christ. I'm looking at my interpreter and she's saying, slow down a little bit. You're not Speedy Gonzalez, you're not Speedy Garcia, slow down. But I'm excited. I get excited about God's word. Then we go into chapter 6 and we see that God is our Father, that he provides, that he protects us, that he cares for us. And because of that, we could just trust him and be happy. And just in case you thought we were done with the Sermon on the Mount, I want to remind you this morning that the Sermon on the Mount is not done with us. So we're going to be on chapter 7 today. And we're only looking at one verse, and as you can see on the screen, I've entitled this message, Judge Me Not. But because I'm Puerto Rican, I like to say, don't judge me. Are you judging me? So we're going to see what the Bible has to say, but as I look at this text in chapter 1, depending on what verse of translation you're reading, judge not that you be not judged. It's a simple verse. It comes out of the mouth of Jesus. But I want to ask you this morning, which is the most quoted passage in the whole Bible? Now I can see you thinking. Oh, some of you are saying, John 3:16. How many of you think is that? Is it? Is it John 3:16? Well, actually, it used to be John 3:16, which is beautiful, isn't it? It's the gospel in a nutshell. It tells the whole message of the Bible right there. However, I'm sorry to say, and it breaks my heart, John 3:16 is no longer the most cited or quoted passage in the whole Bible in our day and age. Does anybody know which is the most cited, which is the most quoted Bible in the whole, verse in the whole Bible? Does anybody know? I can see some hands. Well, just to let you know, and I'm going to say it right now, is Matthew 7, 1. Do not judge or you too will be judged. But why am I sorry? Why are you sorry, Brother Angel? Are these not the words of Jesus? The last time I checked, they were written in red in my Bible. That's if you have a red letter edition Bible. Are these not inspired words and part of the biblical canon of the New Testament? Are they not true? Are they not revealed, inspired, illuminated, expositional truth? And the answer is yes, 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 and see. They are. But I want to give you three words this morning. And by the way, when you I agree with you, and your heart is probably beating, and we're bonding right now, because you know, John 3:16, who could ever top that, right? The greatest love, the greatest gift, and the greatest message is right there in a nutshell, so it breaks my heart. But I want to give you three words that will help us understand this particular verse in the Bible, which is the most cited, the most quoted verse in the whole Bible in our day and time. Number one word, here it is, context. I'm sorry, because most of the time, this particular verse is taken out of context. It's taken out of context, usually by unbelievers and believers alike. Yes, believe it or not, it's taken out of context by Christians who, for whatever reason, no longer have a biblical worldview. They no longer have a Christian worldview. They bought into this relative worldview. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to give you some examples. Namely, have you ever heard this one? Truth is relative. There are no absolutes. And when I hear that, I want to say, no, I want to scream, I want to yell, I want to say, really? What are you saying? There are no absolutes. And I want to say, are you absolutely sure about that? Because when you say there are no absolutes, that is an absolute statement right there. How about this one? Let me try to get my different voice here with this one. All right? What is true for you is true for you. And what is true for me is true for me. And then I just go, Right? You ever heard that one? What is true for you, even if it contradicts other so-called truth, that is your truth, and this is my truth. And you know, that is totally pragmatic. The problem is that it doesn't work. What would you say if I tell you that when you are driving, and by the way, this verse, judge me not, and all you looking at me and say, I don't judge people, Pastor. Yes, you do. I've seen you drive. I've been with you in the car. You're like, why is that person going so slow? Does he know how to drive? It must be a woman, right? All right. You're getting in trouble. I didn't say that. You guys said that. And you're driving, and then you pass the person, and you look, it's not a woman, it's a man. And then when you look at your speedometer, that person wasn't going slow. You were going 11 miles over the limit. Yet you judge that person because he or she didn't know how to drive. But, you know, what if I just simply decide that when I see a green light at the traffic light, that means stop, because that's what's true for me. And you decide that when you see green, it's go. What would happen? I mean, if that's the way if you're thinking that green is stop and red is go, let me know when you're driving so I could stay home. I heard a story once. It's probably a joke because it cannot be true, possibly be true, of a person who was driving with another person, and they come to a green light, and Jeremy, they stop. So you gotta go. No. The person said, the driver says, no, because my brother might be coming. And they go to the next light, it's green, and this driver stops. He says, you gotta go, it's green. No, because my brother, he just goes when it's red. And he did that a few times, and finally the driver guessed a green light and he stops and he says, why are you stopping now? He said, because my brother might be coming now. I think I butchered that joke really bad, but thank you for laughing anyway. I look over here, I see my grandson Joshua. When he was a young child learning how to talk, he figured out what green and red meant. And if you asked him, what does yellow mean? He says, hurry up, because he's going to turn red. You see, when you take out of context, judge me not that you may not be judged, it's just an excuse so you could do whatever you want. Let's be honest, we're in God's house. It's just an excuse to tell others what you want, to tell others, usually Christians who believe that truth is absolute, that you are not supposed to be judging me, although in my heart I know that I am wrong. But Pastor Angel, I am sincere. Did you know that you could be sincere and be sincerely wrong at the same time? So judge me not. Now, I know I milked this kidney stone for a while, and I'm glad that I'm feeling better, still in my body. But when I could not move and when I couldn't sleep, there are only so many books you can read. There are only so many things you could do, right? So you grab the remote control, and I'm trying to find something nice to watch. And I ended up watching the 1957 series called Sorrow with Diego, right? And some of the new generation say, what is that? And when I picture a person telling me, judge me not, it's like they get the sword out and that, judge me not. You're judging me. You know, they're taking it out. You're judging me. Why are you judging me? Let me tell you, you could be sincere and be sincerely wrong. You need to be honest. Because some people play this game and they say, judge me not because I'm doing what I want, when I want, and how I want, and I don't care what the Bible says. Some people say, judge me not. I know abortion is wrong, but judge me not. I know that lying is wrong, but judge me not. I know that Sunday is the Lord's Day, but judge me not. I know that doing drugs is wrong, but judge me not. I know that getting drunk is wrong, but judge me not. Let me get stoned, judge me not. I could go on and on and on, but judge me not. Judge me not. And I want you to know this morning, judge me not. Because my point of view is just as valid as yours. Even, this is what they say, if it contradicts the word of God. But I want you to see that Jesus, in this verse, is teaching a truth that is really important. Not only is he saying, don't judge, but he says, if you go on in the context, that the way in which you judge, you're going to be judged. So, he's not saying that there isn't a correct way of discerning things. He's not saying that you don't need to examine things. He's not saying that you don't need to go into the Bible and check what the Bible says. He's actually saying that there is a correct way of judging and an incorrect way of judging. Now, when you read this verse, there are words that come into my mind. Be loving, be merciful, and be humble. Because it's very easy for us to think, you know, I don't do that. You know, I fill and check every box, and I don't do that. But before you know it, Jesus says, make sure you check that the log in your eyes before you try to take someone's specs out of their eyes. In verse 5, the second word I want you to see is context. So Brother Garcia, that's the same word. Yeah, it is. But context, when it comes to interpreting the Bible, is king. Context. To take this text out of context, Jesus is saying it's hypocritical. It's hypocritical for a person to say, judge me not, and take it out of context. Because when you tell that person, judge me not, are you not judging that person? If you tell me, judge me not, are you not judging me? I'm saying that I'm judging you. So if it's wrong for me to judge you, what makes it right for you to judge me? And Jesus is saying, don't be hypocritical about it. Now, I'm going to go back. I know I went all the way back to 1957 with Zorro and Diego. I'm just going to go a little forward now, but late 1980s, I was teaching a Sunday school class, a youth class. I wasn't a pastor then. I was serving as a deacon. And in the youth class, we had this one student that we just knew she had some issues, and she would come dressed in such a way that the young kids in the class were no longer paying attention to me. You know what I'm talking about? She was very provocative in the way in which she dressed. And I had to tell her, you sit over here, and then get all the girls and sit them in front of her so they will block her. And this used to be her favorite verse. Judge me not. And I had to find a way to help this person. And by the way, I talked to her I got my wife to come in with me and talk to her. And we found out there were some serious issues going on in that person's life. She was coming from a very dysfunctional family. And needless to say, it was hard what was going on, and she was actually crying out for help, for her family was so dysfunctional. But what she didn't realize was that when she was saying, "Judge me not," she was actually saying, "I could dress without modesty, and you can't judge me. I could dress provocatively and call attention to myself and become a stumbling block, keeping others from Christ, and you cannot judge me. You see, you judge me not," for her was a license to justify her unbiblical lifestyle. I'm happy to say that she's serving Christ now and she's come across. But when we talked to her, we didn't look down at her and say, "You need to get it together. If you're going to be coming to my class, you better understand all the hermeneutical principles." No, because when you judge that way, that is incorrect judging. When you do it that way, then you're breaking what Jesus is saying. You see, judging self-righteously obscures and it gives you a wrong view of God. And when you judge in a way without mercy, without love, and without humility, it obscures the sense of others and your view of others. And when you judge with prejudice, thinking you're superior to other people, you obscure and you get a wrong view of yourself. Judge me not does not mean you don't have compassion. Judge me not does not mean you don't have understanding. Judge me not does not mean you don't have love. Judge me not does not mean you don't have mercy for that person. While you can see what the person does and hear and says, you cannot see that person's heart. And when we pretend to judge what someone thinks, what someone feels, what's in that person's heart, you are actually usurping the place of God. For you cannot read that person's mind, you cannot read what's in that person's heart, and you don't know his or her intentions, you don't know what that person's going through. Only God is able to do that. So the third word I want you to see this morning is context! Brother Garcia, I feel like I'm not getting my money's worth today. It's the same word. You keep repeating it. Context. Well, I could give you different words if you want to. Correct judging, hypocritical judging, and final judgment. If that's what you want, there you go. That's free. And if you don't like it, you can get your money back. But look at, I want you to see this. And this is where everything comes together. And I hope you can see this because you don't, this doesn't have to be the only verse in the Bible. There could be many verses that we take out of context and try to justify how we live, what we say, and what we do. But here in this passage, I think context is important. Because if you take a text out of context, it becomes a pretext. Can you say that with me? Repeat after me. A text out of context. Well, it's time out. Hold on. I'll give you a chance. Some of you are not ready. At the count of three. Uno, dos, y tres. A text out of context is a pretext. I want to give you an illustration. It's not a true illustration, but you could actually get yourself in trouble by doing this. I'm here to tell you that I've met people that they know just enough Bible to be dangerous. Anybody met somebody like that? They know just enough Bible to be dangerous. And when I became a believer, I won't mention my friend's name, but he told me, when I want to find out what God wants me to do or say, I turn on the little fan on my desk, I put the Bible there, I open it, and I let the fan blow on the pages. Then I turn off the fan, and wherever he lands, that's what God has to say to me. I said, I never heard of that. And he believed that by turning on the fan and letting the fan blow the pages of the Bible, and where he landed, that's what he was. Let me tell you, that is dangerous. Because this person, this is an illustration, said, I'm going to end my life. I'm tired of life. I've been hurt so many times. I've been abused. I've been judged hypocritically. And I don't want to live anymore. So, but before I do, I'm going to give God one chance, one more chance. So he closed his eyes, grabbed his Bible, and went. He didn't make that sound, but he went. And when he opened it up, he opened it up to Matthew 27, 5, where this is where it says, Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, no way. I don't think God could possibly want me to do what Judas did. I'm not going to go hang myself. There's no way. Lord, I'm going to give you a second chance. All right? Let me give you a second chance, right? And he goes like this and then make the sound with me. And when he opened it up to Luke 10, 27, where it says, and you go and do likewise. Now that really shook him up. He said, okay, that's one strike, two strikes, one more strike. I mean, the third time is a charm, right? So, okay, the last time. And if he happens, then I know. So he's just was really nervous. I gotta shoot this one. Make the sound with me. Opened it up to John 13, 27. Whatever you do, do it quickly. I know you're laughing, but I gave you Bible verses, and if you look up those verses, that's what he says. You see, if you do not interpret the Bible correctly, you could get in trouble. Not only could you get in trouble, you could hurt yourself or hurt someone else. That is not the way to study the Bible. That is not the way to interpret the Bible. You have to be faithful to what it says. And not just the verses around the text. Sometimes you got to read the whole chapter. In fact, sometimes you got to read the whole book. Sometimes you got to read the whole New Testament to get the idea of what it says. Please learn how to do that and do not become dangerous. I say, okay, Pastor Garcia, Brother Angel, no wings, no halo. I got it. Context, context, context. That's easy enough. But what does the context say? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Lord Jesus cautioned his followers, if you look at verses 1 through 5, not to judge self-righteously. Self-righteous. I know better than she does. What school did he graduate from? What church did she go to? Ugh, poor thing. I need to teach that person something. Let me straighten you out. You are self-righteously judging. And Jesus said, do not judge because you're going to be judged accordingly. Not only did Jesus said in verses 1 through 5 in a context, not to judge self-righteously, he says he counseled them to make judgments based on the right standards. In this context, judge not or you too will be judged. Jesus says in verses 15 through 20, chapter 7, that we're supposed to judge false prophets. So how do you know that person is a false prophet or a true prophet? If you judge him not. Judge them not, although that person could say whatever he or she wants to about the Bible. He could say whatever. Like back in 19, any people from the 80s? Back 1988. You heard me say this before, true story. And you could Google this if you think I'm making this up or ministerially speaking. 1988, somebody wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 88. Well, as you know, because we're here, Jesus did not come back in 88, but they sold a lot of books. 1989, the same person writes a book, 89 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 89. What blows my mind is that people were still buying the book. How do you know if you don't make a judgment based on God's word, if you don't have the discernment that comes from the Bible, if you don't interpret correctly the word of God, you're going to be deceived. False prophets whose teachings and behavior lead people astray. And we are commanded not to judge hypocritically. We're nevertheless called to judge. Just like he said, don't judge self-righteously. Don't judge without mercy. And don't judge without understanding and the right context. He also tells us to be fruit inspectors. Okay, so you have a problem with judging correctly. So you have a problem with saying, well, the Word of God does teach us that there are things that we need to investigate, there are things that we need to examine, there are things that we need to be right about. If you have a problem with that, I'm just going to give you what the old late doctor J. Vernon McGee says. We're not judges, but we're fruit inspectors. Back in the 80s, I think it was again, sorry, I'm stuck in that decade for whatever reason. I'm not sure if that's the decade. I might be wrong. You guys could correct me after the service. There was a commercial of a lady who went back to the counter after getting some fast food, and she opened up the buns and said, "Where's the beef?" Was it the 80s? I mean, she made a judgment. I paid for this burger, and they gave me a little. Where is the beef? I want to ask you, can somebody see your walk with Christ and then go back and say, "Brother, you surely talk the walk. Can you walk the walk? Where's the beef? Man, you say you love Christ, but you don't love your neighbor. Where is the beef? You say you don't judge, but you judge hypocritically. Say it with me. Where is the beef?" See, you guys let me flat there, by the way. In the book of James, James is very clear. I mean, some people don't like reading that book because they walk away, "Man, he got me good." Just like you guys got me coming, making that turn. You got me. James will get you. He will say, "You say you have faith? Show me your faith by your works. You say that you love God and you hate your neighbor? Where is the beef? You say you put God first, and somebody comes into your church and you treat that person with prejudice and you treat that person less than, and you treat the people that have money better than the people that have no money." I'm in that category, by the way. You know, where is the beef? You just have saying faith. You don't have saving faith because you're not examining yourself. And he's saying, don't you know that God one day is going to judge you? Don't you know that one day you're going to have to give an account to God? So context, 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 right judgment, hypocritical judgment, and here we go, final judgment. I know sometimes in sports, even in playing chess, I'm a chess player, by the way. Some of you have played me, and you know that I like to play chess. And even in chess, they use the word now, Armageddon. And sometimes, I think even in wrestling, they have the Judgment Day match and fight, you know. And we use these words lightly, but I'm here to tell you, there's coming a day where there is going to be a Judgment Day. And you're going to stand before the judge of all the earth and give an account. You're going to give an account and want you to know, your sins better be in the place where God places wrath over them. And that is the cross of Jesus. Because if your sins are not on the cross, where are they? I want you to know that if you're a believer, you don't have to fear standing before God, because you're not going to stand before the white throne judgment. That's for people who are lost. You're going to stand before the Bema judgment seat of Christ to get a reward for the things that you did here on earth. So if you're hearing me, don't worry about me. I'm not interested in judging you. I don't worry about you judging me, because it's one that's going to judge me one day. And I want you to know this morning that there are people who do not come to churches, who do not go to Bible study, because they have been hurt and they have been judged hypocritically, self-righteously, without any consideration, without any love, without any mercy, without any humility. And the Bible says, if you think you're standing, take heed lest you fall. So this morning, I want to remind you that the day you stand before the judge of all the earth, you could just simply say, "I am glad that I am forgiven. I am glad that I have placed my faith and trust on your saving work on the cross, because all of my sins, past, present, and future, were judged on that cross, and Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it," say it with me, "white as snow. Judge me not, lest you be judged." Would you please, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I'm going to ask you to please stand with me as we pray. I might have been that person that was driving slowly on the highway. And you passed me going 20 miles over the limit. And I pray for you that you wouldn't get a ticket. And I pray that you wouldn't have judged me because you thought I was going too slow. I know it's funny sometimes, but it happens so easily, right? Even on simple things. If you would have met me when I came from Puerto Rico the first time, you might have judged me and said, well, that guy doesn't know how to dress, and you didn't know my family didn't have any money to buy me clothes. That's the truth. Thank God for the Salvation Army. Thank God for churches that gave away clothes that were faded, but they kept me warm. But you might have judged me. Or maybe you listen to me and you judge me because I speak with an accent. I want you to know I speak with an accent, but I don't think with an accent. It's easy to be judgmental. It's easy to judge hypocritically, self-righteously, without mercy, without humility. But nevertheless, God calls us to be true to His Word, to be true to the interpretation of His Word, and to be faithful to what He says. You might run into people who might say to you, that's true for you, and this is true for me, and don't judge me. Your job is not to convince that person. Your job is to tell God's Word in truth and in love and leave the results to God. If you think you're not getting anywhere and that might happen, just pray for that person. Leave it in God's hands. I want to pray for all of us. I want to pray for all of us because I know that it's very easy when your wife tells you something and you didn't like the way that sounded to judge your wife. Say, who do you think you're talking to? Or vice versa. And just assume that because he said it this way, he meant the other way. I want you to choose the way of the Master. Say what you mean. Mean what you say, but don't say it in a mean way. I want you to choose the way of the Master that says, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and I'm not going to judge you. I wish I could tell you how many times I heard people, I'm not going back to that church because somebody didn't say hi to me. Oh, the pastor was running fast. You didn't know the pastor had a kidney stone. He had to run. And you didn't know what that other person was going through, was thinking in his or her heart. Don't judge us, people. Pray for them. Make sure you examine your heart first before you endeavor to straighten someone else out. Make sure you search your heart and say, Lord, I got to make sure that I'm standing firm. I got to make sure that I'm studying your word and rightly dividing the word of truth so that you could work in other people's lives, in my life first, and bring salvation, bring transformation and glorification. Father, I thank you so much. Simple verse, judge not lest you be judged. Then Jesus breaks it down. Let's not do this hypocritically, self-righteously, without mercy, without love, without taking into account our own hearts, without remembering that one day we will stand before the judge of all the earth. Lord, there are people who have a different worldview out there. I read an article about teens forsaking church, forsaking God's word. They've been taught a different worldview where God's word doesn't matter. But truth is relative, where they could just create their own reality. And I want to pray for this generation. Lord, there is hope in you. By faith, we know there's salvation in you. And we know that your hand is not short, that you cannot save. You could save them. You could transform them. You could reach them. You could teach them. You could reach me. Every one of us here, So as we pray, we search our hearts and minds. And we thank you that Jesus teaches us the way of the Master. That Jesus teaches us that there is a right way and there is a wrong way. Help us to choose Jesus' way. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus, they're hearing that we must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. They're hearing that only Jesus was able to perfectly fulfill the law. He was the giver, the interpreter, and the fulfiller of the law. I pray you touch their hearts, and they will come and ask either Pastor Steve or me or the elders, or for that matter, anyone in this church, how can I be born again? How can I know that I will see the kingdom of God? And how can I know that when I stand before Jesus that day, I'm not going to receive final judgment, but a commendation, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. I pray you touch their hearts, their minds, and their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.